My guest, Carterville Mayor Brad Robinson, but he is also on a member of the Williamson County Substance Abuse Task Force. I got it right on the first time.
You did. Very good.
And we're also joined this morning by Allison Haster. This morning, did I get it right? No, it's Hassler. Sorry. I'll get one of the consonants right eventually. So, Allison, no matter what your name is, thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Allison, by the way, is the regional health officer, and it's Allison Haster, so I get that right, too. Now, there is a film coming up at John A. Logan College. This is not one of the films that you see in high school, and they say, and here's everything you need to know about drug abuse. This really is more of a conversation starter, I would think, than anything, isn't it, Allison?
That's correct.
Because here's the thing, and I've run into this a lot lately. People or members of a family who know that they have somebody in the family who has a drug problem, and they don't want to talk about it. And then something bad happens, and then they do want to talk about it, and they don't know who to talk to. That's kind of way I see the situation for a lot of people in Southern Illinois when it comes to not only opioid, but also heroin addiction, and there is a connection. The film, Anonymous People?
Right. So exactly what you just said is why we chose this film specifically, because, yes, we do have an issue of addiction in Southern Illinois here, but what we wanted to do as a kind of honoring National Recovery Month, which is September, is to really look at this in a solutions-based focus. So, yes, there is addiction issues, but what we want to do is look at recovery and see what that looks like for people and be able to answer questions for family members, friends, coworkers, yourself, anybody that has a question about recovery and what that looks like and especially what their options are.
So this is the light at the end of the tunnel?
This is the start. This is the light that they're going to start to see.
Okay.
So this is where they can get their questions answered from subject matter experts here in Southern Illinois about what that process looks like and what those options are for them.
Brad, now here's the thing. The Williamson County Substance Abuse Task Force was, if I remember correctly, and if I'm wrong, please stop me, was originally started to fight meth.
That's probably true. I was recruited into the task force actually this year, and I was recruited in more along the lines of my other job as an EMS coordinator with EMS providers and law enforcement and medical first responders being the front line to treatment and how they can be a piece of the recovery and the prevention arms of this.
Well, that's that when something bad happens. Because a lot of people go, well, you know, that's going to happen to somebody else. I know what I'm doing. And then recovery is a dangerous thing for opioid addiction because you build up a resistance and you recover and then you fall off the wagon and you go back to the previous dose and the previous dose kills you because your tolerance has gone back down again. There are a lot of caveats to this kind of treatment that people may not get. What I think I was trying to go for, the core message is here, the Williamson County Substance Abuse Task Force, when it came to meth, had a pretty good track record. And I based that on many conversations with law enforcement in both Carbondale and Marion, and then talking to someone in Pope, Johnson, or White County. I mean, Harrisburg police told me, we want to bust somebody on meth, we just roll down the window and drive through the neighborhood and then follow our nose. How prevalent it is. Opioids, a little more different. Here's the question, $24 question for the day. Meth made out in somebody's garage out on the back porch. Marijuana grown in the field on the South 40. Comes from Mexico. Comes from whatever. Comes from a grow house. Opioids come from, we make them. Companies make them. How can we have an addiction problem when we control the supply? Anybody want to take a swing at that one?
Well, I will, just in a very general...
You could just blurt out greed.
And well, to give you the political answer, there's a lot of different things that affect opioid addiction. And many of the times it starts with an injury or an illness and prescription drugs being given for what they are intended for.
Right.
But over time, that turns into... more of a need and then into an addiction, and it spirals from there. You know, the lower 15, 16 counties, this Delta region, you know, we have about a 200% higher rate of prescription narcotics than any other part of the state. As the task force and with IDPH, Allison with IDPH, they're aware of this. And so we're approaching this from many different angles, from Illinois being part of a national network where patients, their prescriptions can be registered and checked if they go from doctor to doctor. Those things are being done all the way down to what we're here today talking about is getting questions answered for those who have issues with family or themselves with addiction.
So basically what I'm hearing is, and this is interesting because Tom Cundiff introduced me to this, the software program that was used to control Sudafed and some of his sales, and there was software that people could use so that you could track multiple purchases here. So we're talking about the same thing here for opioids, aren't we?
Yes.
In a way.
So the
methodology, anyway.
Right. So the system that you're talking about and what Brett was referring to is the prescription monitoring program for Illinois. It is optional for prescribers to use that, but we do provide at the local and regional level prescriber training and encouragement to use that system and trying to remove the barriers that they have using that system, because with any state-ran system, sometimes it, you know, you come with barriers, whether it's IT issues or cost and things like that.
Or just sheer bureaucracy.
Sure.
It's a confusing and big thing when you're talking about the sheer millions of pills that we're talking about here.
And so, and a lot of the other low-hanging fruit, if you will, that we're concentrating, especially as the Williamson County Task Force over the next year, is doing prescriber training and education as well as patient education and general awareness with that.
Because you just touched on this, the general education, because you run out of pills, you don't have anybody's going to sell you any more pills. You run out. You start looking for other things. And apparently, people run to heroin pretty quickly, and with its prevalence now, apparently not that hard to find. I mean, the new statistics that came out, I think I read them Sunday. See if I can get a quick look here. Heroin use has jumped from 2002 to 2016, 135%. Deaths from heroin overdoses jumped 533% from 2002 to 2016. Attorney General Jeff Sessions 2 weeks ago today in a speech said that the 2016 death total in the United States was 60,000 people from opioid and heroin overdose. 60,000 people. Basically, the number of people we killed in the Vietnam or died in the Vietnam War and part of the United States died in drug overdoses in a year. Perspective, we'll call it.
And Tom, I want to add to that, that for every one person that has lost their life to an overdose, we have hundreds and hundreds more that are misusing opioids and misusing or have some sort of an abuse disorder with opioids. So as bad as the morbidity or the mortality rate is with the opioid epidemic right now, what we are concentrating on is the misuse of the opioids and stopping them from getting to that point where there's an addiction.
Right, because you go, and that's getting in front of it. These new guidelines that were given to doctors on opioid use are probably, I consider that the first rock, because there at one point, and this was just a few years ago, handing those bad boys out like candy. We'll visit the dentist office. Here's a script. You know, hurt your leg at work. Here's a script.
Well, there's
this has started to change now. I think
it has, and there's also I just want to clarify that it's not the physicians. It's not always just handing them out. What happens is when people develop a misuse or an addiction, they seek it out from multiple sources. So it's very difficult for a physician that, you know, in their oath, they say first do no harm, but
right.
They're trying to make their patients feel better and have a better quality of life. It's very difficult to weigh that against factors that of the unknown, you know. So it's very difficult from all angles, but what Allison said, and I agree with, is, you know, not only the mortality, which is being addressed at this to some degree. We do have naloxone training that's occurring after the viewing. And while supplies last, there are naloxone kits being given out.
Naloxone. I'm sorry. Help me with this.
Narcan, the reversal agent.
Oh, this is Narcan?
Mm-hmm.
I thought Narcan was only for heroin overdose. I'm sorry.
It's for any opiate overdose.
All right. That's good to know. I thought it was strictly a heroin issue.
Yes.
Which, of course, is, you know, one of those issues. My understanding is someone now is trying to track the number of doses used in emergency vehicles so that we can get a better realistic expectation of how many overdoses we're seeing. At least that's what I was told. True?
Yes. Well, that is
a census, I think, was
the
term.
That is an area that's being looked at because not just the prescription meds that we're talking about, but you know, heroin on the street, and it is made with many different synthetic
fentanyl.
Yes, carfentanil, and many other types that are extremely strong and take multiple doses to reverse. So, by looking at how many doses it takes, they can also look at where are potential areas where synthetics are being produced and sold that have a higher likelihood of killing folks. So it's just another way of trying to, for the lack of a better
term,
stay
the,
out in front of it.
Yeah, qualify the issue, what we're looking at. I mean, get the numbers in, know exactly what we're talking about, because we know it's big. We know it's a big number.
So I want to drive home a point that Brad made about the naloxone training that's going to be offered at this event. So, again, it's at F-103. Thursday night at 5 p.m. at Johnny Logan College. Egyptian Health Department has a grant available where they provide not only the naloxone kits or the Narcan kits, but they also provide training for anybody who wants it. There's no prerequisites required if you're a concerned family member or if you have friends that you know may need it at some point. If you have if you feel that you have the potential to use it, then you should come and get that training and be able to get that. And then also Dr. Blaine, who is a medically assisted treatment provider, who will be there on the panel of experts explaining what that looks like and what medically assisted treatment looks like for recovery. He will also be there with prescription pads. So if anybody wants to take home a prescription for naloxone, if they don't have time to stay there for the training, then they can do that as well.
This is I consider this a stopgap measure to stop people from dying until we've done more work on the problem. It's kind of how I see it from the outside looking
sure.
in.
So for every time that you can save a life and get them closer to recovery, that's one life that you can save.
Because I've talked to mom and dads that are worried about their kids, and they go, I know something's going on. I know something's going on. And some of them have already gone through two or three of these incidences and still can't get the ship righted. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about Thursday because we're running out of time. Thursday, film starts at
5 p.m.
at John A. Logan College in the room.
F-Wing, F-103.
F-103. Mm-hmm. How long is the film? Do you know?
50 minutes.
All right, so you've got 50 minutes. The film starts then. Then you do a Q&A?
Yes.
All right, and who's going to be there to answer questions, Brad?
Bradley Bullock is our moderator, and then we have a group of subject matter experts, the panelists, Chris McCloskey, with Caring Counseling Ministries, Melissa Adkins, she's the CEO of Heartland Regional Medical Center, Paul Troiano, who is the lead pharmacist for Southern Illinois Healthcare, Dr. Michael Blaine, Jonathan Edwards, Master Sergeant with Illinois State Police, and he's their Drug Task Force Director, Brandon Zanotti, the state's attorney for Williamson County, and Mike Pacetti, who's a clinician at Centerstone. That's our panel, so from
good
all
panel,
different walks
man.
Of life. Yes.
And we also have the clinical director for Gateway as well. So we do
rehab.
Have
yes.
our primary inpatient and outpatient recovery centers here in Southern Illinois, including both of our big hospital systems involved, as well as our state's attorney and our Illinois State Police. So it's a really great high-level crowd that or panel of experts that's going to be right. able to walk you through these processes.
Well, I'm going to miss Tom McNamara not being there, I can tell you that.
Absolutely.
And so my old buddy Mac passing away a few weeks back, this is one of the areas that I'd spent a lot of time talking with him about because there's a when he and I had always talked that there's a there's a void in many people, and there's a big black hole that eats everything. And then we start chucking stuff into it in hopes it'll make us happy. Sometimes it's weed, sometimes a bottle of rum, sometimes it's opiates, sometimes it's a whole lot of bourbon, sometimes it's cocaine, sometimes it's meth. On the list goes, right? I mean, I recently had some pretty extensive dental work done using opioids. A few days into it, I'm sitting or watching TV, and the little light bulb goes over my head going, oh, man, this is pretty nice. I could see why people, because I'd gone through the pain portion,
absolutely,
right? And it was going behind me every day, but I was still taking the same dosage. And I literally look over at Kate and go, oh, this is nice. I get this. I get it. I mean, I'm happy, and I don't care that I live in Illinois. You know, I mean, yeah. You know, I'm watching the news, and I'm not throwing things at the TV. I can get it. I get it, you know, and that's when I put those bad boys down.
You know,
I don't need that kind of stuff in my life,
ahead,
you know.
Allison, sorry.
So, Tom, one thing that I wanted to point out with our panel that I feel like is probably one of the most important aspects of this panel,
right,
is that we have two people that are living proof of recovery that are on the panel. So our moderator, Bradley Bullock, is 29 years in recovery, and the clinical director of Caring Counseling Ministries, Chris Korzine-Mosky, is 11 to 12 years in recovery. So we have those people that have actually walked through addiction firsthand that will be able to answer those questions of what it looks like on the other side as well.
Is there an Al-Anon Narcotics Anonymous for family members in Southern Illinois?
Yes, there is.
Yeah?
Yes, there is. And if you go on if you just Google Al-Anon, you can find the local directory.
Or Narcanon?
Yes.
Okay.
And there'll be a list of resources Thursday night as well. Well,
that's another question a lot of people ask me.
Yep.
They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about it publicly. Mm-hmm. I need to phrase that. They don't want to run it up the flagpole, but they want to get some help because they're worried that their reputation of their son or daughter will be tarnished forever and they won't be able to get back and become healthy members of society again. They want to get them the help and get them right on the right track again. And sometimes, I mean, I've had more than one person come to me and say, I need some place to send one of my family members meth. Couldn't find any place to send them. Mm-hmm. They were, what's your insurance like? Don't have any. Have a nice day. Mm-hmm. Sorry, we're booked. And nope, you don't stay here 30. You stay here 90 days. Can you afford that? That kind of thing. And there always seems to be that barrier.
Yeah.
And if you find a barrier and you're in addiction, that's the rationale you need, because I don't need to quit anymore. Look, I can't. You know, you give a reason, it's there.
So we will have a one-stop shop booth, or not booth, a table that will have all of the resources available to them here in Southern Illinois. So everything is tailored to our Southern Illinois region. We have a substance abuse resource directory as well as a mental health resource directory. Those were both created by Healthy Southern Illinois Delta Network. Those will be there. We'll have links on the agenda to where you can find all of this information online, as well as I know Gateway and Centerstone plan to hang around, be able to answer questions by the resource table, get their information out there as well.
Good. Allison, thanks for joining us. Illinois Department of Public Health, the regional health officer, and also Brad Robinson, of course, spent a lot of time as an EMT, now mayor of Carterville, and also on the Williamson County Drug Substance Abuse Task Force. We went way long. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
What time again, Friday? Thursday?
5 p.m.
5 p.m. at
John A. Logan College, F103, and we will have people there to help walk you through if you're not familiar with John A. Logan.